Welcome back to Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked from whose cell phone battery is highest to lowest right now, Robin Langenhop.
Ooh, we got to actually test this out. My phone is at 43% after charging.
Nice.
I play Hayden Kincaid.
Max Weinberg.
Mine is currently at 81% because I charge it because that's the camera that I use for filming or while we're recording.
Nice.
Ooh, so
that's true.
And I'm playing Stump Steenling.
Such an afterthought, all of our characters.
Stump's phone would absolutely be just perpetually on low battery mode at like 15%.
Yeah, 100%. Stump's phone is always dying.
And Rowan McStay.
Hi, I'm Rowan McStay playing Salome Briar, and my phone, you know, normally I would be at low. I'm the kind of person who's got my phone at like 3% at all times.
Oh, no.
But I am currently at 76 because I just charged it.
Wow. Okay.
But normally you're so right. My phone's always like waiting to die, just begging me to put it out of its misery.
Hey, speaking of putting things out of their misery, let's watch me get murdered.
Yeah, where were we?
Shall we dive right in?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm a little scared.
Last time on Mage Hand High Five, Stump returned to the group to tell them of Early's murder. You all discussed it and had Stump return to Fane, discovering the body for the first time in order to watch the faces of the other guests. Salome met and flirted with the mysterious hooded figure, one Belinda Bartle, cattle rustler and criminal gang leader. Brinley, disturbed in the wake of her uncle's death, called everyone to the main room so she could keep eyes on them. Hayden saw something lurking in the rain outside and offered to hunt it, to the group's chagrin. Shorna elected to go with Hayden. After the two left, Salome and Stump investigated Shorna's room, discovering the crest of an old victim of Stump's on her luggage. Shorna, in the midst of the rain, revealed to Hayden that she'd been hunting Stump to take revenge on him for murdering her father, before transforming herself into a werebear. So where we are now, Salome and Stump.
No, don't start us there. Come on.
Ooh, I love it.
No.
Give me that evil DM energy.
Oh, Casey's like, nom, 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 nom.
So delicious.
Twiddling your stupid little mustache.
Put that down. Put those ends down.
Put those tips of that mustache down, Casey.
So where you are now, Salome and Stump. You are in Shorna's room. It's pretty bare bones. There's not a whole lot going on.
Boo. There's bare bones?
Actually, across town, there are a couple bare bones right now.
So proud of yourself.
You are in Shorna's room. There are the bear skins on the bed acting as like sheets and as sort of a place to sleep. There's not a whole lot going on. There's not anything in the dresser. There's not really anything like else out. The only thing is this trunk, which has the insignia of Shurin Undertow's Trading Company.
Wow, Stump. You know what? I really like her. I'm glad she's out with Hayden making sure that they're safe. Otherwise, I'd be real worried about them going out on their own.
Yeah, I mean, she seemed pretty nice.
Is it just me or her and Belinda both real cute?
I'm going to leave that one up to you. I'm married, you know, so I have no comment. No comment.
I'm just saying.
Casey, do I recognize the undertow?
I'd say roll an intelligence check in order to see. Just straight intelligence.
Okay. 18.
Nice.
An 18. You remember this name? You think from your time in Hazak, but you can't recall in what capacity. Maybe this was a guy you ripped off at some point, or like maybe this was someone with whom Hazak had dealings. You get the image of a dwarven man in your mind, but you're not sure what happened to him.
Salome, I've seen this before. Not sure where exactly, but you know, it's from my old days.
Oh, you got any idea who it is?
A dwarf. That's really, you know, that's really all I got. It's from probably somewhere in Threed.
All right. If you think it's worth looking into, think you could get the trunk open?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to go through her things too much. I really do trust her, but I think we probably should just be safe.
Can I pick it?
Sure.
I'm going to investigate for traps.
Okay.
Just in case.
Yeah.
A 12?
With a 12, you don't see any traps.
Except for the big one in the middle of the room?
Except for the giant bear trap in the middle of the room.
Solomon almost trips over the bear trap.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, I lost my foot in there.
You don't want to lose your foot in there, I'll tell you that much. That's a nat 20.
Ooh. Yeah, there she is.
This trunk is like, it's sort of a small like steamer trunk. There is a large heavy padlock keeping it closed. But you've seen so many of these in your day. This means nothing. With a couple of turns of your wrist, the lock pops open and you just toss it aside and open the trunk. No trap spring. Inside, there are changes of clothes, and there is a book.
A book?
A book, like a journal.
Okay, not like book that we're looking for.
No.
Like, can you imagine Shorna's got the, like...
Come on, I got a nat 20. It can be the book.
No. it looks like a small sort of leather-bound journal.
Yeah, Stump picks it up and goes to, you know, flip through some pages and...
Oh, Stump, I don't know if we should be reading somebody's private journal. I mean,
we're already here. Why not?
Okay, well, I'll give it a quick skim, make sure nothing's wrong.
I'll show you some of mine if it's okay. Here, I'll trade you some of mine for reading hers.
Oh, shoot, I didn't know you kept a journal. That's fun.
Stump, you're flipping through pages, trying to gain a little bit of information without having to read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to start out with her seeking out someone. And then over the next couple pages, you get the sense that this person, that she is seeking out lycanthropy. Not a cure for it, but the curse itself.
Are there dates?
There are dates. This happened about 10 years ago. You get the sense that she finds a lycanthrope. They transfer the curse to her. They mentor her in how to control it. And the next couple are devoted to hunting. But not hunting. They seem to be in search of something or someone. You flip more pages, and as you do, your hands start to shake a little bit. Because not too long ago, maybe about a month ago, she picked up the trail of the person that she's looking for. And there's an entry in which she goes to a small town, the town of Mountain Creek. And there is a detailed entry of her peering in the window of a house and seeing a wife and daughter, but not seeing the man that she's looking for. Hayden.
Yes. Oh, no.
I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
So I can't actually be seen in the dark. Does this have any impact on the situation?
I will say that right now it is like just before dawn. So it's dark out, but it will not be dark out for long.
I can work with that.
So I will say that you have advantage on this dex save.
Lovely. That's an 18.
Shorna says,
I will kill anyone who gets in my way.
You instinctually leap backward as a massive bear claw, almost the size of your head, slams down in front of you. You feel the claws whiff through the air in front of your face, missing you by inches. And she says,
I don't want to kill you, but I will.
You see, I have no such compunctions. You want to come after me? You will not leave this alley alive.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Roll initiative.
Okay.
Oh, Hayden.
God. That's an 18.
Okay. You are first in the order.
I love being first in the order. So here we go. We're going to start off with just a couple of standard crossbow hits and see how things go. And because I am invisible to her, I have advantage on these attacks.
Okay.
24 for the first hit.
That hits.
And only 13 for the second.
That does not hit.
So that's only 9 damage.
Okay.
But what I want to do is run around her, and as I'm passing by, toss out my dancing sword.
Oh, we get to see how it works.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
You line up your bolt. Shooter, it is hard to miss at this range. You hit her. She sort of just shrugs it off.
Yeah.
You run past her. As you do, you take out your dancing dagger. You fling it into the air. It sails into the air, glinting in the morning light, and then lands in the mud.
Oh shit.
Oh.
My magic item is not a magic item, folks.
Like it doesn't work?
You call upon the magic energy, you fling it into the air, and you hear the as it lands deep in the mud.
Doggone it, I have been bamboozled. Is it within range? Like, can I grab it while I'm still running?
I will say that you can use your object action, object interaction to pick it back up.
Okay.
It is filthy.
As I pick it up and I'm running and trying to rub the mud and dirt off of it, I'm just going like, you had one job. You had one job. Why aren't you doing your job?
you're hissing at this little dagger just like, as you're running, Shorna turns and sees the of your footsteps in the mud. How far are you able to move?
I have a pretty standard move speed of 30 feet.
Okay. She is going to move 40 feet to catch up with you.
Oof.
And then she is going to try and make 3 attacks against you.
I would prefer she didn't.
3? Oh, God.
All with disadvantage. The first one is going to be an 18 to hit.
That will do it.
That is 13 points of slashing damage as you feel her claw rip across your back.
Yikes!
That is a 23 to hit.
That's gonna do it.
And the third one is gonna be a 15.
Nope.
Okay. 17 points of piercing damage.
Oh, yikes.
I don't like that.
As she lunges out and sinks her teeth into your shoulder. Hayden, make a constitution saving throw.
No, 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 no.
How do you feel about a 13? How are you feeling about that particular number?
The teeth sink into your shoulder. You feel the blood gushing out of the room, out of the wound. It warms your shirt as it runs down, but the wound itself feels ice cold. As if you were stabbed with icicles. You shake it off. Solomon and Stump.
Rat.
Stump, you realize who the journal is about.
I was there during these dates that Shorna would have been in Mount Creek, right?
It was a month ago that she caught whiff of your scent.
Oh.
It was a couple weeks ago that she found the exact house. However, she specifies in her journal that the object of her hunt is gone. And that she staked out your house for days.
Stump, what's the matter, darling? Cat got your tongue?
We gotta go find Hayden right now.
What the hell's going on?
I think Shorter's trying to kill me.
Shit. Okay. I wasn't going to tell you this because I trusted her, but she's a werebear. She told me.
Oh, we gotta go.
Oh.
Can you pick up this trap? Bring it with us?
Can I? It's spring-loaded, Stump. I don't know if I can pick it up, and I mean, we might be able to set...
Oh, I shoot it and trigger it so it doesn't...
Okay. You shoot it, it snaps with a very loud crack.
We could try to... You know what we could do? We could have Belinda and Brinley open it up in front of the door and try to lead her in front of the door.
I think we got to go get Hayden first. Yeah. Might be a more immediate situation than that.
Right. I'm kind of remembering my Aunt Maggie used to sing all these songs and tell all these stories and these tall tales, and one of them was about lycanthropes. And the thing is, a lot of the time they really don't like silver. I'm going to be right back, and I'm going to run into the living space where Brinley and Belinda are and say, "Brinley, darling, what's that sword made of?"
She looks at you and says, "Well, this is a sword that's been in my family for generations.
Okay, what's it made of? I'm so sorry. I need you to talk to me."
"Well, it's made of the purest silver."
"Oh, okay. I'm gonna need that. Excuse me. I take it."
You reach for it, and she immediately snatches it back, and she says, "You will have to kill me before you even dare pry this sword from my hands. My uncle was murdered."
"All right, Brinley, you know how to use it?"
"Yes."
"Perfect. Come with us. Hayden's, Sean is trying to kill Hayden. We gotta go get them."
Wait.
"It's a long story. We have to go. Shorna is trying to kill Stump. Shorna is out with Hayden. We let them go with her. She's a werebear. She's a lycanthrope. We just found some things up in her room. Yeah. We gotta go. If you know how to use that sword, come on."
You see something click in her mind as she says, "Okay, yeah, let's go."
"Miss Belinda, I know firsthand you know how to use that dagger. You coming?"
Belinda looks at you and says, "A werebear? Darling, this ain't my fight.
I'm gonna have to pass on this one, but maybe I'll join in on the next one, if you play your cards right."
"I guess you're right. I shouldn't have acted like I knew you. I never would have taken you for a coward."
"I see it less as cowardice and more as living to fight another day."
"Well, darling, for your sake, I hope one day when it is your fight, you end up in the company of better strangers than yourself."
That sits with Belinda a little bit. She doesn't say anything, but something resonated.
"Good evening, Miss Bartle."
While that conversation was happening, I run into Hayden's room and just use the goggles on everything that Hayden touched. So I'm going to activate to try to see the auras to try to be able to cast Locate Creature on Hayden to know where they are.
Okay.
So I have to roll a DC 13 insight check.
Okay.
I did not. I don't know where Hayden is.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay.
You go into Hayden's room. You sit down in front of an object. You place the goggles on. You sort of, you raise both hands in the air and just slap them down on the object. And nothing happens.
"Well, it was worth an idea. Go downstairs and go, I don't know where they are. Didn't work."
Okay. That's fine. We just got to get downstairs and try and find them."
"Great." You rush out into a gale. Wind is howling. Rain is coming down in droves. It is impossible to see the other side of the street right now. You look and try to discern tracks, but you have trouble. Hayden, your turn.
Great God.
Okay. After sustaining this horrible bite, Hayden turns around, looks eye to eye, or eye to bare eye, with Shorna and says, "I don't know if you know who I am. The stranger never backs down from a fight. Until today." And I just turn and book it. I'm going to cast Rope Trick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The trouble is, it floats up to 60 feet in the air, so I do have to spend time climbing to get to safety.
And climbing is half your movement.
I climb as far as I can right now, and then I will spend my full action climbing next round and just hope that I make it that far.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you've got 60 feet to go. You climb 15 feet of it.
All right.
Oh,
technically,
boy.
I'm still invisible.
Yeah.
That's all I have going for me.
So what Shorna sees is a rope conjure and then starts to wiggle. Fun fact about werebears, they have a climbing speed of 30.
Oh, no.
So Shorna starts climbing up after you.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Shorna's struggling a little bit because her claws are so massive, it's hard to keep grip on the rope, along with the fact that there is a full-blown hurricane happening outside right now. But she is gaining on you.
I'm just like wiggling and trying to say to the sword, go, do your job, do your job, do your job.
You do it. You are like holding this little dagger and you're like, and the dagger is like just motionless in your hand. You don't see any magic kick in.
Oh. When I see Lamash, he's gonna have words.
Shorna is going to make some attacks against you.
Hayden, how you doing health-wise?
Well, before these hits, I'm at 23 hit points.
Boy, you're lucky she's at disadvantage because she just critted.
Ooh.
Okay. However, without the crit, that's a 24.
That will hit, believe it or not.
Yikes. That's a 15, and that's a 13.
15 damage or 15 to hit?
A 15 and a 13 to hit. So she only hits once.
Okay, those do not hit.
10 points of slashing damage as she catches you on the back of your thigh.
Okay.
I will give you one last chance. Run away like the coward you are and let me kill those murderers that you call friends.
You seem far more focused on me than on your actual revenge scheme at this moment.
Well.
She... And all of this is sort of happening over the gale, and she says,
I don't want Stump to have help he doesn't deserve.
I will make sure that Stump receives none of the help that he doesn't deserve.
Roll a persuasion check.
Roll a slick wording check. I got a 16 persuasion.
Her eyes narrow, and she sort of roars over the gale. She says,
do you think that I'm stupid?
Worth a shot.
Then you will die too.
Salome and Stump, roll survival checks with disadvantage.
With disadvantage, that is a nat one.
Oh.
Stump, why the hell did you put mayonnaise in these damn night vision goggles?
It was a gift.
Okay, look, don't I want them. Get it. I'll take like them back. Can you take them back and take the damn mayonnaise out? I can't see a thing.
Maybe.
Don't look a gift mayonnaise in the mouth.
It's in my mouth.
That's a 10.
That ain't bad.
With a 10. It's rough out here, gang. The wind is roaring. Like, you had to do everything in your power to close the doors behind you as you walked outside. Rain is coming down in buckets. But with a 10, even with a 10, you're able to faintly make out a couple pairs of tracks.
What did you do to this woman anyway?
I don't know. I mean, I know the name. That's all I can remember.
Okay. Yeah, and as we start running, I just like yell out, Shorna, where the hell are you? We trusted you.
You start running.
Casey, can I cast Detect Magic as a way to kind of assist in looking for Hayden's magical items?
Yes. Like if you cast it and are like sort of casting that net to try and find Hayden, I'll grant you an advantage on survival checks. I will grant you advantage, which will negate the disadvantage.
Mm.
Okay.
Do we hear them at all or anything? I mean, I know that the rain is just pelting.
It's hard to hear anything.
Okay.
It's hard to hear also because it's hard to focus on hearing because water is in your face constantly.
Yeah.
And it's hard to even keep your eyes open, much less hear.
Well, Salome's got goggles.
Yeah, but they're covered in mayonnaise.
There's rain on the outside, mayonnaise on the inside. It's a rough.
Can't
it's a rough
see for shit.
Life. Hayden.
Yes. My turn?
Your turn.
I've got kind of a Hail Mary plan going here.
Okay.
Step one, bonus action, second wind.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. Love that fighter level.
It's only 5 HP, but it's something.
It's still something.
Next, I'm going to climb up another 15 feet, and then I will look down at this dagger that is not doing its job and say, all right, work with me on this one. And I'm going to ready an action to cut the rope below me just as she gets back within range.
Oof.
You ready with the dagger, and you notice two things. One, as you ready the dagger, you sort of whisper to it. Maybe it's the wind. Maybe it's the shitty day that you were having. You could
almost swear that the dagger made a noise back. But before you can think too hard about that, you notice another thing. You see a glint, and you look up, and you see that the rays of the dawning sun have illuminated the top of the rope and are now crawling their way down towards you.
Oh, no.
Soon to make you completely visible.
One thing at a time, one thing at a time.
And now, Shorna's turn.
Ugh.
Shorna is going to climb the 15 feet to get to you easily. And as you have prepared an action, I'm going to have you roll an attack on the rope. It's only got 2 HP, so you just have to hit it. But I'll tell you now that the AC to beat is 10.
Okay. This is a dagger?
Yes.
So, I rolled a 3. Plus 7 is 10.
Hayden! Oh my god!
I like to live dangerously.
Holy shit!
You look down, and all you see are claws and teeth scaling their way up this rope, and Shorna is saying something, and you are desperately sawing at the rope. And just as she reaches you, you hear the snap of the rope. Shorna is going to fall 30 feet, roaring on the way down. She slams into the mud below. And she sort of looks up, and she says,
I'll come back for you.
And then she is going to use her action to run out of the alley.
Mm-hmm.
You are 30 feet in the air and drenched, but you breathe a sigh of relief.
What I want to do is climb the rest of the way up and get out a scratch of paper to write a note.
Start writing a note. It's pretty hard to write out here.
Well, I'm in the extra dimensional space now.
Oh, you're it? Yeah. Oh, then it, yeah, you got this. Yeah. You write a note. As you're writing that note, Salome and Stump, you are running through town. Brinley is behind you. Brinley is still in the robe that she was wearing this morning. She's struggling. She's doing her best out here.
Oof.
She has the silver sword in hand. As you are running, you pass closely by one of the houses of the village. Salome, you take stock of it first. You look and see that the front door of this house has been smashed open.
Stump, look over there. Hi.
What?
Somebody smashed through the door. That look like Shorna to you?
I mean, probably.
All right, let's go find her.
Do you run into this house?
No.
No. Yeah, I think we run to the house.
You run to it. You're sort of on the porch of this house. You're out of the rain, which is great. And you sort of take a moment, take stock. Brinley's there with you.
Are there windows?
There are. I mean, the door is also smashed wide open.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that, though.
Stump, I'd like to try and stay in front of you. If she's looking for you, I don't want you to be the first person in the way.
I was going to look through some windows. I can be pretty stealthy, so I was going to...
Okay.
So I'm going to... I love saying this every single time. I'm going to use one of my Svirfneblin camouflage uses, which gives me advantage on a stealth check.
Okay.
I'll take these dice.
Svirfneblin.
Gesundheit.
Oh, sick. That's a 21.
Woof.
That's a 21. You creep over to this window and peer in. You instinctively recoil, and you feel the hairs on your neck stand up from what you see inside this house.
I don't like that.
You see inside, strewn over the kitchen table, is a body. But you have never seen a body like this. This body is ghost white. Their face is twisted in a look of horror. Their eyes are rolled back into their head, and it doesn't look like they're all there. The only way I can describe it is if you had a mound of dough and you pulled part of it off.
Oh.
The body is contorted in a way that you have never seen before, as if part of it was just pulled off like putty. You're not even sure that bodies work like that.
I go get Salome to look in this window with me.
What's the matter, Stump? You look shaken. What's going on? Is Hayden in there?
Hayden, I hope, is not in here. Doesn't look like Shorna's in here, right? I can't even. You gotta just see this. Okay. I hope you're not queasy. It's rough.
Holy hell, Stump. What is that?
I don't know. We gotta come back for that in the morning, but.
Oh, God. Does this look different from how Early looked?
Yeah. This is not even close to what happened to Early. Or I should say, what happened to Early is not even close to this.
I think we might be dealing with two different things entirely.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I guess we keep running after where the tracks were leading, right?
You keep running after the tracks. The rain is blowing. It is hard to see anything. You turn a corner, and there is a rope hanging in the air about 30 feet up.
The hell is this?
Hayden's head pops out and goes, oh, hello. Well, I guess I don't need this note. I was just riding.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Hayden, thank God you're okay.
That's, jury's out on that one. I am severely injured, but.
Did she hurt you?
Oh, so bad. I'm going to tie my extra rope onto the magic rope and work my way down, but she may show up at any moment, so just keep your eyes out.
Shit, Hayden, I'm so sorry I trusted her.
Stump, make a perception check with disadvantage.
Ugh.
It's a 9. That's pretty good for Stump with disadvantage.
Yeah, disadvantage? All right.
Okay.
Just Stump?
Salome, you can make a perception check with disadvantage.
I'll take it. I'll take my little disadvantage. Yeah, that's no better.
Okay. Hayden's head appears at the top of the rope. You start to talk. Stump, your back explodes in pain. You are suddenly in the air as you are slammed off of your feet.
Oh, God.
By a Shorna who has full-blown charged at you from around the corner.
Ah!
You land face first into the mud. You take 5 points of slashing damage.
Oh, God.
Salome, you hear this and turn, and Shorna is going to make an attack against you as well.
Shorna, what the hell is going on? I trusted you. We had a whole conversation.
And that is a crit.
Okay. You love to see it.
Do ya?
Oh, God, Casey, what did you do?
That's an 8 plus an 8 plus a 2 plus a 2.
Okay, so 20 damage?
24 damage.
Oof. Okay.
Her claw rakes across your body.
Ooh.
And she says, any friend of Stump is a murderer of my father.
Did Stump kill your daddy? Is that what's happening?
He sure did. 20 years ago.
Well, shit. And now you're out here murdering folks too? I mean, Hayden and Early Porterfield, what the hell did they ever do to you?
She says, you don't know 20 years of waiting for this. I'll kill anyone.
You can try.
Hayden.
Yes.
You're preparing your crossbow. The day sun is in the distance. And as the light sweeps down the street, even through the storm that is happening right now, you see the light sort of stream down the street and you see something. Beyond Shorna, beyond Salome, beyond Stump, beyond Brinley, you see something that brings tears of horror to your eye. Lurching out from behind a building, what can only be the aberration that you sensed last night. It's hard to tell from here through the rain, but it looks like a conglomeration of body parts. You see a hand rise out of its shoulder and then shrink back in. You see its face contort. You see a moose's antler sticks out of half of its head, and you don't know what the fuck it is.
How much time do I think I have before it reaches us?
You see it turn the corner and see the lot of you.
Shit.
And you think you have about one turn in the initiative before it gets here. Everybody roll.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Casey, I know where you live.
How's a 4 treat you?
That's a 6.
Okay.
17 for Hayden. How's Shorna looking?
As Salome would put it, Shorna's looking fine.
Okay.
First in the order is Hayden.
Shorna, you have one and only chance. You can keep fighting us and get your revenge that you've been seeking for all this time, or just for this moment, you can help stop whatever that is that's coming this way.
Shorna says,
do you think I'm stupid? Do you really think I'm gonna fall for the look behind you trick?
It's a 2-second glance, just do it.
She just shakes her head and goes, no.
Okay, you crossbows to the brain.
Hayden, you say that, and you see whatever this thing is beelining towards Shorna's back.
Oh, Lord.
Well, in that case, perhaps I let some of this play out. Do I feel my hunter's mark on this creature?
You do feel the hunter's mark on this creature.
Yeah.
Lovely.
There's just like a little like arrow pointing down in the air over the thing, like a sim.
I always think of it as a little Sims thing.
All right. I will slip down some of the rope.
Okay.
And then I'm going to fire at this aberration.
Okay. Roll to attack.
A 14 and an 18 to hit.
The 18 hits.
All right.
That's 12 damage. And as my object interaction, I'm going to pull the dagger out once again. Say, I don't know if I'm hearing shit or what, but if you want to help, if you want to be a little friend, now's your chance. And I just let it go.
Okay.
No! No!
You...
you get arrested for animal cruelty.
Let's handle this in order. You fire a crossbow bolt. It aims true. You see it smash into the shoulder of this creature. It roars almost person-like, horribly. And as it does, you see its shoulder rock back, and the arrow sinks into the flesh.
God.
It roars out in pain, and Shorna turns around and goes, what the fuck?
I told you.
You hold up the dagger. You almost hear a clack.
Oh.
And then you drop it. And you hear,
oh no. Wait, do you have hit points? Can you fly? I should have asked more questions.
You see it fall, and as it does, you see it change and turn, and you see the glint in the light of a coin as it hits the ground.
I don't imagine I can roll a medicine check on a coin. From 60 feet in the
what
air.
What is this thing?
Hayden, anything else you want to do on your turn?
Be concerned.
You are more than welcome to feel that way.
This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre-pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows, if we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their Direct Creator Support Initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to.
The beast of Blackthorn Bog moves next.
Oof.
It uses its full turn to dash at Shorna, and it comes within striking distance. As it moves closer, you all see this thing, and you all get a good look at it. Hayden, you were not wrong with your initial glance. It is vaguely humanoid. You could say that it is comprised of humanoid parts and stuffed vaguely into the shape of a humanoid, but it is 12 feet tall. It lurches forward, and as it does, you see fingers appear out of its hands and then retract in as if its body is consistently undulating with the parts of which it is comprised. You see its horrible body shifting and changing. You see bones crack beneath the flesh and disappear. You see muscles ripple, and you see its face, part person, part animal. A bestial brown eye looks out of the left socket, and a pale blue human eye peeks out of the right. A massive moose horn stands crooked in its skull. It screams, and you hear not one, but several screams as it does, as if many throats are raising its call.
Salome, you look at this monstrosity shambling towards you, and you realize that it bears some resemblance to the picture Lila sent you, as if it might not be the exact same creature, but something very, very similar.
Oh, God, Aunt Lau, what'd y'all get yourselves into?
Stump, it's your turn.
Wow. Shorna, I know we got stuff to deal with, and I promise you we will get to that, but I feel like we all have a common enemy right now that would be great to deal with before that. Is that okay? Deal?
Shorna looks at you and says, I will kill you.
Yeah, that's fine, but we gotta deal with this thing first.
You see almost a madness in her eyes that she is so close to killing the man who murdered her father. You think Shorna would be willingly dragged to hell if you will get dragged with her.
So here's the thing.
I offered you a deal so we could deal with this together and then you and I could sit down and finish this however we wanted. But you know where my family is. And I can't let anybody know where my family is. So for the first time, I'm going to dip 3 crossbow bolts into carrion crawler mucus. Okay. That's my bonus action. And I'm going to just shoot at Shorna.
Yeah. Okay.
So also, carrion crawler mucus is a poison that when someone gets, you know, subject to it, they have to make a constitution saving throw and be poisoned for a minute, and the poisoned creature is paralyzed.
Nice. Oh, that's great.
That's a nat 1.
Oh, brutal.
Oh. You load the crossbow, but your hands are shaking, not only from the fact that your past has literally come to life to revisit you, but also because of this whatever the hell it is that is lurching its way towards the group. And you misfire. The bolt ricochets off of a lamppost and disappears down the street.
I'm going to go just like turn around a corner, like go like get behind a house.
You're all in an alley, so you hide behind a barrel.
Yeah, not mechanically hide, but...
Oh, okay.
Because I can't. I use my bonus action to use the poison, so I can't mechanically hide.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's fair. Okay, you stand behind a barrel. Yeah.
Stump, you want a duck or something? Yeah, I can, like, you're right there, you know? Are you trying to hide behind that?
I'm really tired from this turn, so I can't duck down right now. I'm stuck in the position I'm in.
He doesn't have that kind of time.
I don't know how the hell you're, like, 311 and can't hide behind a damn barrel.
I'm a big 311.
Shorna goes next. Shorna is going to try to attack you, Stump.
Theoretically, I am more than 30 feet away from her.
Theoretically, she has a movement speed of 40.
Theoretically, I'm more than 40 feet away from her?
Are you really?
I don't know. How far did she knock me?
Let's do her full strength of 19 feet.
19 feet? Okay, so I'm 49 feet away from her.
Okay. She's going to move 40 feet in your direction, but on her way, she's going to attack Salome.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks, Max.
That is a 14.
Misses.
A 12.
Misses.
And an 8.
Misses! Yes!
Oh, that one hits.
Oh. Oddly enough, the eight hits.
I think she is so blind with rage that you're not even her target right now. She's just, she flies claws at you on her way past you.
I'm going to take an attack of opportunity with Booming Blade, which will damage her if she moves.
She takes it.
Oh my god, you guys, I can't roll anything.
Get better dice.
I'm flipping my dice.
Trying. I don't know what to do.
You have dice jail?
And I don't even want to use, like,
I thought you were going to say, I don't want to use negative reinforcement.
I don't. That is a 13 to hit.
No, that does hit.
Wait,
oh,
what?
Does?
You're not just trying to make me feel better, are you?
No, Werebear has 11 natural armor.
You're kidding.
It's
that
hits? It's to make up for the fact that, like, most attacks just don't do anything to it.
Oh, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what? Brinley also gets an attack of opportunity.
Yeah, she does.
So she'll roll hers after yours.
All right. Come after Shorna, and as I do, I just say, Shorna, darling, please, I promise you, you and Stump can have all of this out as soon as we're done with this thing, but we need your help here. If you or anybody else has any chance of getting out of here alive, we need to work together on this. So it's only 11 damage, but she's going to take another 2d8 as soon as she starts moving towards Stump. So it's 11 damage to start with. Does she keep moving?
Oh, she's insane.
Okay, great. Ooh, that's better. And that's another 15.
Okay.
So that's a total of 26. And all the Booming Blade stuff was thunder damage.
Okay. Like, she's hit. The thunder damage sort of rocks her as she continues to run towards Stump.
Ooh, honey.
Roll a persuasion check with disadvantage.
Okay. That is, damn, with disadvantage. One of them was an 18, only a 10.
She is dead set on Stump.
All right.
And I mean dead set.
Okay. Brinley gets an opportunity attack as well, right?
Oh, Brinley does get an opportunity attack. Yep.
Come on, Brinley.
Brinley swings the silver sword and nothing happens.
Okay.
She whiffs.
All right.
Salome, it is your turn.
Okay, well, everything's just chaos right now. Brinley, you're in your bathrobe. You need a shield or something? You can take mine if you need it.
She says, I don't want to take it from you, but she looks over and sees the beast of Blackthorn Bog bearing down.
take this.
Yeah.
I give her my shield. So my AC is down to 16.
She takes it, and as she does, she says, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. I look suspicious as hell. It's fine. We'll talk about it later. I am going to bonus action cast Hexblade's Curse on the beast of Blackthorn Bog.
Okay.
And then I'm going to run up and attack it with Booming Blade.
Okay.
Am I in range to do that? 30 feet?
Yeah. I mean, it was bearing down on Shorna, who was bearing down on you. So it's right here.
Y'all, I rolled a 4 for my attack roll.
It's kind of flesh golem-y. You could still hit.
It's an 11 to hit.
Nope.
What is wrong with me? Am I cursed?
Buddy.
Is it me?
You bring down your blade on it, and you see the flesh of its skin, like, harden, and your sword bounces right off.
Well, shit. That's about all I can do for now.
Okay.
Is there anything around that might provide a little bit of cover? Because I just lost my shield.
Yeah, you can duck behind a nearby crate.
Okay, would I have to take an opportunity attack to do that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay.
Did you crit on me again?
No,
oh.
Almost. That's a 28 to hit.
That'll hit.
Believe it or not.
That's 9 points of slashing damage.
Whew, all right.
It reaches a hand out, and it's not bestial claws, it's fingernails that slash you across your back.
Whew. Ow. Yeah, okay.
That's worse. Who hurt you, Casey? Who hurt you?
Hey, I really like John Carpenter's The Thing. What can I say?
Ooh, spooky. All right, yeah, I try to take cover behind this thing.
Okay.
Which hopefully should give me a little bit of a boost to AC.
Okay. With that, it is Brinley's turn.
Come on, Brinley.
Brinley sort of looks from the beast to the rest of you and is like, I hope I live through this.
I hope you do too, girl.
She is going to slash at the beast of Blackthorn Bog. And she crit.
Yes!
You got it. I love her. I love our commoner NPCs that join us in fights. I love them.
Right? She said she could fight.
She's got a little bit of something going on.
Is it a 5th level smite?
Can you imagine Casey being like, yes, this NPC, just a better paladin than you?
She swings. A large gash opens up along the creature's sternum. It roars in pain, and you see the wound start to close up.
Oh. Oh, we got to hit that with, like, fire.
Hayden.
Yes.
It's your turn.
It is my turn. All right, so I witnessed this silver sword damage getting repaired.
You witness, like, the wound is, like, open, but the wound starts to undulate like the rest of its body.
Hmm.
Can I make a medicine check about it?
Yeah.
That's a nat 20. What has happened?
Yeah,
that's a
nat 20. There you go, Hayden. All right.
This beast, its body is repairing itself.
That's bad. Okay.
You think that wounds might not stick around for very long on this thing. Like, it is a conglomeration of body parts. The flesh on its body isn't moving like flesh. It's almost moving like dough.
Do they get any sense of, on that, like on a nat 20 medicine check, do they get any sense of weaknesses?
You get the sense that it doesn't really have weaknesses, but it doesn't have resistances. It's the flesh of a person.
So it's kill it fast is really...
You need to hit this thing fast and hit it hard.
All right.
I will do that. So I get 2 attacks per action.
Okay.
Can I use one of them to toss the vial that Stump gave me at the wound?
Currently, the poison is set up to be an injury poison, the drow poison.
When the glass breaks, will that do it?
I think I've ruled on the side of, like, poison... Like, if the glass shatters and causes a wound, the poison can seep in. And I think Stump's pulled that before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just me flavoring my stuff, though.
Fair. Okay. I'm saying it now. I think it's fun. And if y'all want to do it in the future,
okay.
Max, take it into consideration.
Groovy. All right. So, first attack is going to be this throw.
Okay.
You're like 90 feet away in the air, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a really high AC, but it's possible.
Okay.
Well, before we roll, I'm going to set the AC to do this at a 23.
What am I adding to my die?
I think it would just be dex.
You said it was 23?
Yeah.
I got a 21.
Ooh, brutal.
Ooh.
That's such a bummer. Okay.
The vial smashes at the foot of the beast.
All right. Pull out the crossbow.
Okay.
That's a 26 to hit.
Ooh, there it is, Hayden.
Yeah, a little bit.
Only 10 damage.
Okay. Once again, you hit it. The crossbow bolt sinks into its flesh and disappears.
Can I use a bonus action for one more hit with the crossbow?
Yes.
It was a 19 on the die.
Ooh, yeah. Shit.
Do it.
9 more damage.
Okay, cool. I am retroactively going to have Brinley run away because I don't think she's dumb enough to just sort of stand there.
All right, Brinley, get home. Well, don't get home. You got my shield.
Next in the order is the Beast of Blackthorn Bog. It cocks a horrible eye up at you, Hayden, and... And then it turns, sights you, Salome, and it runs towards the crate.
All right. Do I get a half cover?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so that's a +2 bonus.
What is that up your...
It's a +2. Brinley's got my shield, so that just puts me back at my normal 18.
That is at your normal 18. The beast makes 3 attacks.
I'm going to be looking rough in a minute here, y'all.
You see its jaws extend out, and they extend out from the head. And they miss. But 2 of its arms come around the crate and slash at you.
Oh.
You take 15 points of slashing damage as these 2 claws reach around and rake down your arms.
Oh, God. Salome is looking bad. Like, really properly bad. And as Salome gets hit, I think she just goes, Shorna, please, we need your help right now.
Stump, you are behind the barrel. You see Shorna on all 4s now, just hauling hand over foot to get to you. And she says, once I kill you, I will kill your family.
No one comes for my family.
I'm going to use a bonus action hide from cunning action.
Okay.
26.
Ooh, yeah.
Love to see it.
You duck behind the barrel and you are gone.
From the darkness, I'm going to go shoot my next crossbow at her.
Okay. You have advantage.
23.
Ooh, yes. Nice.
Yes,
it's 10 damage.
Okay.
And she has to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
Or be paralyzed.
Oh, I hope to God this works. We cannot fight both of these people right now.
And what's the DC to set?
I want you to tell me and I'll react to it.
Oh, okay. So that's how we're playing it.
Yeah, I'm the DM in this situation.
I'm the daddy now.
Hey, Max, does a 22 save?
Ooh.
Believe it or not, a 22 saves.
Whew.
Okay.
And I'm going to also just like run away more.
You take the crossbow, you fire from the ether. It stabs her in the shoulder. She roars but doesn't go down.
Oh, sorry. She takes another D6 from sneak attack.
Oh, yeah.
That's just 2 more damage from sneak attack.
Shorna's starting to look bloody.
All right.
Next in the order is Shorna. She's at the bounds of rage. She is lost in a sea of rage at this point. And she screams to the heavens. She says, you're going to run just like you did after you killed my father, you coward.
One of us is here, the other's not.
I know of 2 more people who won't be here for long. And she turns and sights you, Salome. And she says, come out, Stump, or I rip your murderous friend to shreds. She's going to hold her action to see what you do.
See what I do?
Yeah. Up next is Salome.
Okay. Salome kind of glances over at Shorna as she says that and then turns her attention to the beast. And I'm going to cast Hex on the beast.
Okay.
I am going to give it disadvantage on wisdom checks, which will include perception to try to find people.
Mm.
And I'm going to attack with Booming Blade.
Yes! I have not rolled anything good since Twin River.
That was like 2 days ago. It was like a day ago.
I don't care.
We haven't had any fights since then.
That is a 23 to hit.
Yes!
Easily hit.
I get a +3 to damage from Hexblade's curse. From Hex, it also does another D6 of necrotic damage. I'm going to attack on a Divine Smite and attack with Booming Blade. It's going to be 4d8 plus a d6 plus 9.
Go to town.
Is this undead?
No.
Fuck, fine.
horribly, its body is alive.
Ooh, okay. That does use the last of my spell slots, but I do not care. 26 damage.
You raise your sword. Wild roses bloom down its length as you slash down on this horrible, horrible creature. And with 26 points of damage, you lop off one of its hands.
Ooh.
It stumbles back, holds its arm, and its hand falls to the ground, and you see the fingers move. You see the hand flip over and start to scuttle away in the mud.
Oof.
Anything else you do on your turn?
I'm sorry, did you just say the hand scuttles away in the mud?
The hand starts to scuttle away in the mud.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yikes.
So many things.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think finishing that attack, she turns back to Shorna and just says, I know what I am, and I know what you are, and I know that everybody in this goddamn place right now is a murderer, Shorna. And I don't know how many more times you want to keep doing exactly what was done to you. You think Brinley deserved to lose her uncle today? Hell, honey, you think Stump's baby girl deserves to lose her daddy just like you did? You really think that would do something for you?
Roll a persuasion check. You don't have advantage, but you don't have disadvantage.
That is a 23.
She stops cold. And for a moment, everything stops as she turns and looks at you. You see the rage die for a second in her eyes as you call her out for what she is. Her lips curl and her eyes turn on the beast of Blackthorn Bog. Anything else you do on your turn?
I duck back behind this damn crate.
Great. Brinley was going to attack Shorna. However, she sees what just happened and is aware enough to know that there is a time and place for revenge. She's gonna run up to the beast and try to attack it.
Oh, come on, Brinley.
Brinley does a nice chunk of damage.
Yeah.
She slices and a bit of flesh falls off its shoulder. It screams in pain. And then the order starts from the top. You see some of its wounds start to congeal.
It's never a good thing when you hear about a body congealing.
Hayden, it is your turn.
We can't keep this going for this long. All right. And Hayden will get into kind of an awkward position and try to fire more directly into any open wounds as they congeal. Okay. I'm going to use my sharpshooter feat to drop 5 from my attack roll in order to gain 10 to my damage.
Okay.
Nice.
That's 29 minus 5 to 24.
Yep, hits a little bit.
10 plus 10 is 20 damage.
You do 20 damage.
And I got more attacks.
Come on, Hayden.
15 minus 5 is only 10.
That's not going to do it.
I'll use my bonus action to attack one more time. 28 minus 5 is a 23 to hit.
Woo!
Jeez.
That minus 5 to plus 10 damage is real nice, and yeah. I should have been using
it
before.
It's so broken. It's so absolutely broken.
It's broken, especially with how you roll, Robin. You unleash a slew of crossbow bolts at it, and as some of them sink in, they start to, like, not sink into the flesh anymore. They start to just stay on the outside. you see this creature stumble, and it starts to look bloodied.
Starts to.
Starts to. Great. Anything else?
That's... No. I put everything into those shots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shit.
Next in the order is the Beast of Blackthorn Bog. The beast turns on Brinley, and it unleashes a slew of attacks.
Oh, honey.
You see, even with the shield, the beast knocks it away. Slash. Slash. And then it sinks its jaws deep into Brinley's shoulder.
No.
Brinley drops.
Oh, shit.
No.
And then the creature begins to lower itself onto Brinley. It brings its head down to her, and it begins to... Stump, you don't know what it's doing. Hayden, you don't know what it's doing. Salome.
Oh my god. Oh shit.
You see a flicker. Everything flickers gray for a second. It is... And as it does, you see Brinley's body start to contort. You see her skin start to turn pale, and you see a blue glow begin to rise in her chest.
Oh, fuck. Salome cries out, V! V, we need you right now.
Next in the order is Stump. Stump, you see the beast has downed Brinley. You see Shorna has turned her sights off of you. You see the beast is now making some sort of noise, but you, to your eyes, you don't know what's happening.
Since Shorna's not looking at me, do I get advantage?
You do if you want to press that advantage on her right now. You know that she has been taken aback by what Salome has said, and you see her turn towards the Beast of Blackthorn Bog. Knowing these things, do you still press your advantage against her?
She knows where my family is.
It's your choice.
Stump's going to use his bonus action to apply basic poison to 3 more bolts. So now he has 1 more carrion crawler bolt and 3 basic poison bolts.
Okay.
And is going to shoot the beast with one of the basic poison bolts.
Okay. Do it up.
Fuck. It's a 1.
No!
Oh, come on.
You probably would have crit on Shorna.
you hit Shorna. No, your bolt goes wide.
Head back into the alley.
Next in the order is Shorna's turn. Shorna looks at you, Salome, and says, "This is not over."
Girl, I don't expect it to be. Let's get out of here alive first.
She sprints her 40 feet back to the beast and is going to make her attacks against it. She swipes, misses. She bears back and clamps down on one of its biceps.
God, I hope that thing passes its save. I don't want to see that become a werebear.
Oh, God, that's so true. That'd be fucked up.
Here's the thing. If the target is a humanoid, it does it. This is humanoid in name. It is an aberration. Okay. It is a monstrosity. You see a ripple of, like, fur go across its body, like just sort of rippling across. It screeches in pain. Salome, that's going to be your turn.
Great. I reiterate the call. V told me to call them if I needed them, and God knows we need them.
Make a charisma check.
Okay. Not persuasion?
No.
Okay.
No.
That is only a 13.
The world grays around you. You see a shimmer in the wind, as if through a cloudy haze someone is stepping through. They're not here yet.
Okay.
But you think they might be coming.
Okay.
You see the soul fire in Brinley's chest beginning to rise from her body towards the Beast of Blackthorn Bog. But within the Beast of Blackthorn Bog, you see not one soul fire, but many.
Mm.
And they all burn.
V, please, if you have any way to get here, please get here. And whatever this thing is, it is eaten souls.
Yeah, and I'll attack this beast again.
Do it.
That's another 23 to hit.
That hits. Roll damage.
All right, with Hex. Hex is doing necrotic damage. I hope that's okay. With Booming Blade. 16.
16. Points of damage?
Yep.
Woo-hoo.
Sure enough.
Great. It roars in anger, but it is still undeterred. You see its wounds start to congeal again. Next in the order is Hayden.
All right. Just got to put an end to this. 27 minus 5 is 24.
That hits. Roll damage.
18.
Okay.
21 minus 5 to 16.
That barely hits.
Oh.
Okay.
Nice.
Another 18.
You see it... It leans its head back, pulls away from Brinley. Salome, you see the Soulfire in Brinley lower back down into her body, and it has been stalled in its attempt to devour her soul.
Bonus action, one more attack.
Okay.
That's a nat 20.
Yes! Oh, you love to see it.
28.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
The beast is starting to look woozy. Like, it's starting
to
falter.
Still up?
It's starting
it's
to falter.
It's been healing every turn.
But it is not down yet.
Wow.
Won't you die?
You see a horror in its eyes as it looks up from Brinley. It sees Shorna in its face, and it's going to attack. That's a crit.
Oh, Lord. Shorna wasn't looking that good anyway.
And you just see it. It rears forward, sinks its jaws deep into Shorna, and rips out part of her shoulder. Shorna collapses. And as she does, you see her change back into a dwarf. And she falls unconscious. The beast lurches to her, lowers itself, and begins... Stump. You see the beast of Blackthorn Bog lower its maw to the woman who threatened to kill you and threatened to kill your family. And you see it begin to suck her soul from her body. Do you attack it, or do you just let it happen?
Well, when you put it like that, I think Stump takes as long of a think as he can in this moment.
It's about 5-ish seconds.
It's about four and a half seconds. Yeah, before he has to make a decision of doing things. Knows Hayden's up on that rope and sees Brinley, who he doesn't even really know, is down. And Salome is probably going to go down at any, with one more hit. Is going to take a bonus action to hide. Do I need to roll for it?
Not at the moment, because the beast isn't even looking at you.
I'll shoot one of my basic poison arrows at the beast.
Come on, Stump.
That's over 20. 23.
Yeah, that hits. Okay.
So that's 11 damage.
You sigh as you judge this situation. You line up the bolt, and you let it fly. The moment seems to hang in the air as the arrow flies. Rain spatters the side as it spins and spins before embedding itself deep in the animalistic eye of the beast of Blackthorn Bog. The creature chokes back, interrupted in the midst of its feast. You see fingers and hands and feet undulate across its body in a ripple. Its face contorts, and then you see other faces begin to appear from it, as if its body does not know what to do. Finally, with a last spasm of pain, it locks up and then collapses in the mud.
Yes! Stump! Yeah!
the beast of Blackthorn Bog lays dead. And all of you breathe a sigh of relief as the rain starts to lighten up.
Stump is going to walk over to Shorna.
Stump, you slosh your way through the mud, coming toward the body of Shorna Undertow.
Is Brinley, like, dead, or just, like, unconscious dead?
I got Brinley, honey. If you do what you need to do with Shorna, I got Brinley.
Okay, I'm gonna cast Spare the Dying on Shorna.
Whoa.
I'm gonna bring her into that house. I'm gonna drag her with my 8 strength into that house.
Okay.
And I'm gonna put her, I'm assuming there's a chair in this creepy house with the weird mangled body. And I'm gonna wake her up.
She wakes up, still incredibly injured, and looks at you.
I look at her, and I say, I don't remember your dad. Sorry I killed him, but it happened. Now you just threatened my family, and that's something that I can never allow to happen. But you're lucky. Got 2 friends out there who are trying to help. I could have you say hi to your dad, but I'm looking to be a better person. So if you ever go near my family again, it will be the last thing you ever do. And then I knock her out.
Before you knock her out, roll intimidation. I'll give you advantage on that.
It's a 17.
You rear back to knock her out, and for a split second, you see in her eyes deep, deep sorrow. You knock her out. You walk away. Outside, Salome has laid a hand on Brinley. Brinley stabilizes. But then a hand is placed on you, Salome, on your shoulder.
Hello, V.
You see tassels hanging next to you.
Showing up a little late to the party, ain't you?
He says, what the hell just happened? And that is where we'll end our session.
Can someone help me get down?
Oh, shit.
I'm just dangling up here.
Hayden, you still up there?
Damn. Hold on. Yeah, 1 second. We'll come get you.
Thanks so much for listening to episode 19 of Mage Hand High Five, The Badlands. Stay tuned after this for a promo from our friends at the 12-Sided Guys podcast. Want to show your support for the show? Do you want to hear us talk more about it? Do you want to hear us be just real silly and give you some behind-the-scenes goodies? Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For just $5 a month, you can get in on the Mage Hand Down Low and hang out with a bunch of other cool people. Thanks to Jacob Kirzner for our orchestrations and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across the social media spectrum. We're on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Discord, wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Mage Hand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. Or, you know, just pass it over gently. I'll take it off your hands. And now let's shout out all of our subscribers over on Patreon. There's Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, A.M. Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Das Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forestoki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Mira the Nerd, Elda Soul, Julata Pang, Michael Clevenger, Laura, Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. Y'all are just scrumdiddlyumptious, and I apologize if that makes you feel weird when I say that about you. Tell your friends about us. Tell your foes about us. Tell, I don't know, some dude. And when you do it, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?
4 companions, dreamers who share visions of a time long forgotten, seek the source of their connection as they navigate a land ravaged by the consequences of the past and an ongoing crusade against forbidden magic. Ornan, a genial barkeep who bears the scars of a warrior's life.
I'd hate to have to bonk ya.
Sylvie, the wide-eyed flautist from a society free from magical taboos.
They call me the Bloodhound.
Mogrim, a traveling physician with a past he'd prefer stayed buried.
I was going to say the answer is always urine.
And Guy, a serial paramour and fugitive from religious justice.
So I guess I'm some sort of wizard now.
Yeah, no check needed. He's not a wizard.
Chorus of the Forsaken, the latest adventure from 12 Sided Guys, your new favorite actual play podcast. That's the numbers 1, 2, Sided Guys. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.